Hello?
Are we good?
How are you, Steve? Are we live?
We got it. Yeah, man.
Awesome, man. Finally. How are you doing?
I know. It's tough to figure that out.
It took about 10 tries, but we stuck through it, persevered.
There we go. Teamwork.
Cool. What's going on?
Nothing, brother, man. I'm just relaxing on a Saturday right now. Doing some laundry, you know, basic people things.
Got to get it done. Love it.
Yeah. What about you, man? How's California?
It's amazing. Thank you for asking. Out here with the family, as we speak, I have a great view walking around on the ocean, so can't complain.
That's great. What city are you in?
For a call. I'm definitely going to butcher this. They call it PV, Palos Verdes, I believe.
Yeah.
Somewhere a little south of LA, but
okay,
I don't know
okay.
Anything, so. It's gorgeous. It's gorgeous.
Likewise.
Man.
That's awesome,
yes.
Man.
Let's get after this call.
Let's do it, man. Last time I visited California, I remember driving down west from Phoenix.
Okay.
And at the end of the highway, it just says beach because the highway ends.
The rest of it is beach, yeah.
How you know you made it.
I don't know how you can be unhappy out here, you know, just beach and ocean and sun. It's great.
It's so much fun, man.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That's enough petting California. They're good on their own.
They can have their place. I know.
My man, would like to start. I like to take everybody through just my guest story. Just have everybody start from the beginning, like, so we can get to know you a little bit, what you're all about, where you came
Absolutely.
From, where you are, where you're looking to go.
Absolutely. All right. So, quick background about me. My name is Harris. About 24 years old right now. I grew up in Maryland, and when I was 18, I moved out to Indiana for school, and that's where I got into the fitness industry. But I was out there for about 4 or 5 years for school and work. I've been actually lifting and training since I was 16, so it's been about 8 years now. And 2 years into college, I found out about this gym named Force Fitness and Performance. It was a really cool athletic training facility, different than I've ever experienced before. Trained there for about a year, and I lifting, so that was something a little bit unfamiliar for me because my background is more the typical trying to get bigger, not be a scrawny kid, you know, all this stuff that we normally try and go after in the beginning. And when I found this gym, I realized they had an internship program, which was something to get into personal training. Again, something that was very new to me. Did the internship for about 4 months, and I realized I had this passion for coaching and working with people that I've really, I think, been looking for. It was something that I hadn't experienced, but it's really appealing to me. So I got into coaching there, spent about a year and a half in that gym working more in the semi-private sector. It was a little bit of a mixed array of things. I did some group fitness classes, worked semi-private, went very well. And then after that, about a year and a half ago, I moved from Indiana, came back home to Maryland just for a few weeks, knowing that I wanted somewhere different. I wanted to go to a new city, maybe have a little bit more opportunity. And that's actually how I ended up where I am currently, which is New York City. And I've been out there for, I actually just had my 1 year anniversary living in the city. So I've been in New York training there, and I've been at Equinox. So I've been doing the one-on-one gig for a while. And it's been going
awesome.
Very well. Yeah, I love it.
Awesome, man. What did you start going to school for originally? Did you change career paths, or were you always kind of like a fitness dude, like played sports?
Absolutely. So as far as school, my original major is biology, but truth is I really had no direction with it. The normal thing, my family was kind of pushing me into something. They're super supportive, but they were like, you should just pick a major, have something that you can potentially get a good career out of, et cetera. And biology seemed like a cool path to potentially, whether it be medical school or physical therapy school, I had no idea. So I did biology for a few months, didn't love it. I switched over to human biology, which is pretty much the same thing as far as I remember. And I did enjoy a lot of the classes, but I just think it was a little too research-based for me, and I really wanted to get into something a little bit more hands-on. And then I ended up coming up with the exercise science major, which is what I actually graduated with, ended with, and that gave me a lot of the background that I have today with training. As far as my background before college with athletics, I don't come from much of a fitness background at all. I played sports growing up, but baseball is the main sport that I focused on. I played for about 10 years, but it was really from the ages of like 5 to 15. So never at any serious level. Other than that, I just played other sports for a month or two at a time. I was the kid who would who would say, oh, hockey seems like a cool sport. I'm going to play for a month. I'm going to become a pro. I went all in, got all the equipment. And then I would hit ice pucks around in the winter on my driveway. And then a month later, I was like, you know, screw this and go back to baseball. So,
classic, never really classic starter.
Exactly. Classic starter. I didn't learn to finish things until a little bit later. So it was a lesson. But in high school, about sophomore year, I switched from baseball and I actually took up golf. So, of course, another super athletic sport. Definitely joking about that, though. There was nothing athletic about it. We would play games at practice. We'd never work out. It was kind of a joke. But I do love golf, and I still do play to this day. So that's really my fitness background. But in terms of personal training, the work that I do now, it came from my own experiences with fitness. Like I said, I started when I was 16, and it was very much on my own. I got kind of this itch as I was becoming a teenager to just have something as an outlet to take care of myself mentally, physically. I feel like I didn't really have any direction with that. And I didn't know how to make myself feel better in that way. So when I discovered weight training, it was an instant release and passion for me. And I definitely was my own teacher for a few years. I think probably for the first 3 to 4 years, it was just YouTube videos, articles, things of that sort online. And then myself just practicing in my basement gym, and that was it, you know?
That sounds eerily similar to my story, man.
I know it's not super original, so I can imagine.
It's, boring story. Definitely right there with you, man. Grew up playing baseball and found the gym. What position? I was an outfielder.
Okay.
I wasn't a cool kid, so they stuck me in the outfield.
I have stories my dad tells me when I was – I like to think I became a little more athletic as I grew up, but my first years – apparently, I was the kid throwing the glove up in the air in the outfield, not paying attention at all. So it makes me proud that I don't do that anymore.
Did that once, saw it done in a game.
Yeah.
They will call a dead ball on you.
Oh, for sure.
They will give the batter the next base. Yeah, I started in the outfield and definitely I just got stuck there because – I think, like, socially, you get into the infield if you're cool. I think that's kind of how it works.
That's kind of the cool person, especially in the younger years, you know?
Yeah, like, let the kids play the fun position. Yeah, yep. But then everybody figured out in high school I was the fast kid. So they're like, oh, okay. Right, he's good at the outfield. So we gotta like, actually play him now.
Steve's got wheels. Got to use them.
got recruited for football because I grew faster than everybody else, and I was, like a I was overweight when I was a teenager, but I was a stocky kid and super strong.
Okay.
So
you said we had the same story. I don't buy it, man. You had all the muscle that I wanted.
I had a stock pantry, man. I ate my family out of house and home. Yeah. Oh yeah,
that's right. You worked for it. That's fair. I didn't need anything, so
I never had an issue with hunger.
Got it.
But definitely like finding fitness in high school and teaching myself through YouTube was a huge thing. I taught myself through Elliot Hulse mainly. I did a little bit of Paul Cech, and then once I realized he was kind of quacky, I was like,
That's funny. Yeah, Paul Cech, I don't know much about him. I learned a little more recently, but Elliot Hulse is probably the top one or two people that I learned from the beginning. I mean, tons.
Oh, he was.
So I'm with.
I didn't realize he was crushing so hard on YouTube.
Oh, that's where I got all my stuff. I love him.
Yeah, he got the favorite YouTuber 1 year, and I was like, wait, he's popular? And
so
then I did my research, and I'm like, oh, wow, he's actually, like, the only dude producing good content.
Yep, absolutely.
Nice. So that's awesome, man. That's a classic story. A lot of people find their way to the gym through, like, some need to take care of themselves or, like,
mm-hmm.
something – they feel like something is missing.
Exactly.
And then they find the gym, and – either it's love at first lift or they kind of play around for a little bit and then realize how much they like it.
Love at first lift. That's catchy.
That's it. I should make a t-shirt.
You should. Already in the making. No, I agree with you though. You know, there's always that kind of sparking moment or story that gets people going. So.
Yeah, that's awesome. Like see the fire in people's eyes. That's what I live for, man.
Me
I think
too.
I found my same way to coaching
mm-hmm.
through that medium.
Absolutely.
Everybody wants to be helped, and everybody needs to like find their way in the world. And it's just like a, such a great way to connect.
Yeah.
Which kind of brings me into like the next topic. Like you said, you did group training and then one-on-one.
Yes.
I was kind of curious to get your opinion on like, which one do you like more? Which one do you find people like connect better with? And is it like an easier introduction, if at all?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think it definitely differs as with everything. And my experience, again, isn't massive at this point. So to the best of my knowledge, I think a lot of people can be fitted with all of them depending on the stage they're in. You know, I think just off the top of my head, I think group fitness, the big pros is the community and culture of it. You know, I think a lot of people, all people need accountability and that social aspect. And I think even if they might not come in with really strong goals, I think goals can emerge through that. And a quick example is the old gym that I trained at. I met a lot of people who might have came in and they just wanted to lose weight or feel a little bit better, you know, nothing too serious. And months later, just by being in this group atmosphere, they had deadlift PR goals, they had pull-up goals, like running goals, they had team events where they would run 5Ks and do lifting competitions. You know, they became so much more focused on performance and health and confidence as opposed to body composition only. And there's nothing wrong with wanting to look good, right? It's not, I don't believe that that's a vain thing for most. Like, everyone wants to look better naked and feel better. That's just a fact. But I think going to the gym with that sole purpose is going to make your goals very short-sighted. And I do think the group fitness atmosphere can really bring that side out. As far as semi-private, which is the other area that I started with, I don't think I really appreciated it as much during that phase as I do now looking back, just because I think it is a really great setup. The difference in my eyes from one-on-one versus semi-private, I think a con is that, yes, it's not as personalized in the moment, right? You can make it personalized, of course, but there's nothing that can really beat like having a full hour with somebody to get to know them and work on their bodies and see what they need. But again, if you do semi-private right and you have that initial assessment really strong, you can absolutely get that point. And then they do get that aspect of team bonding that I think group fitness has, right? Because in semi-private, there might be 6 clients or members on the floor, 2 to 3 coaches. And the way that I experienced it was, let's say you and I were on the coach, right? Or sorry, you and I were on the floor for an hour. There might be 6 members and you and I would just kind of hop around to each member and train with them. We might go up to one person, look at their program, see what they need help with, hop to another. So it's very good at building that teamwork. And it's also really good at building a lot of autonomy because the member gets to feel like they have ownership over the program. You know, that's a huge plus.
I think we're breaking up a little bit right now.
Are we?
Just a tad. You're mostly good, but the connection is.
All right. Let me know. Just keep me updated. I'm trying to walk back where I was, so hopefully that's better.
Oh, yeah. It's all good, man.
All good? Okay. Did you miss anything there?
A couple words, but nothing too crazy.
All right. Yeah. So to sum it up in short, I think all of them, again, can add that value depending on the coach. I think semi-private and group training without an extra bonus from the coach, I think they're going to build that teamwork and culture and autonomy just based on the setup. But I do think if a really great coach is working with somebody one-on-one, they have that ability to impose that as well, right? For example, when I'm training people, even though we have that one-on-one hour and they're not with other members or people at the same time, I do my absolute best to create that autonomy in them. And I want them to take ownership of everything. For example, they might be really tired and there's a bunch of weights on the floor. Of course, I'm going to help them put them away. But I'm going to suggest and challenge them to put the weights away with me, teach them where stuff goes if they don't know. Just give them ownership of the process so they feel like they're really becoming independent.
That's awesome. That's a great explanation, man. I like to learn from other people's perspective because, like, as we both described, I think we started with fitness from like a personal, like we knew we were searching for something.
Yes.
And we started as a gym because we knew what we wanted. And
absolutely.
If I could like try to distill like what you said, starting with a group fitness, you were talking about people like forming or goals were emerging as they started doing something.
Absolutely.
And it's like when you start doing something, you might not have that much of an opinion about it.
Mm-hmm.
Or you might just be like a wallflower, just kind of like going through the motions and like watching yourself do what you're doing. And then as you get more into it, you start to get more of a personal connection and an interest, and you'd like to see yourself grow in different areas.
And 100%.
They always start as more broad goals, like I want to set a PR, or I want to just get in three times a week and be part of the community. And then the aesthetic goals start to come a little bit later, which I don't think are unhealthy. I think it's good to have an aesthetic goal, especially if you're like more experienced. Setting PRs gets more difficult as you get more experienced.
Absolutely.
So fitness as just a way of life, or even getting into something like bodybuilding or like competitions where you're working on specific parts of your body just to experiment with different areas of fitness, or even get into like powerlifting if you haven't done powerlifting before. It definitely evolves, and it's a growing thing. There's different styles and experiences and ways of living with fitness that just kind of change over time. Like you're not going to reach one goal and then live with that one goal. There's always a new platform that you're looking for.
Absolutely.
And then once you get there, you stop wanting it as much and you find something else to do.
Of course.
From that perspective.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Sorry to interrupt. I was just going to say, from that point, is something I really like to always stress with people, whether it's a coach or a client, is that it's as cliche as it might sound, it really is beyond crucial to start to fall in love and appreciate the actual process of training and building these habits, because from people like you and I who have experience hitting the goals that we wanted to, I think we both can agree that once you hit that goal, it's not always as sweet as you think it is, right? For example, like you might hit a big PR, and yes, it's amazing in the moment, you feel strong, but I think the thing that I feel the most proud of is the work I did day to day, not just the fact that I hit 300 pounds on something, you know? It's the fact that I've built and worked for this, and then I'm already ready for a new goal, and I feel like, okay, now what do I do? So I think a lesson from that for people hearing is that, yes, you should have specific goals because that's going to give you something to work towards and build towards, but it's not the end-all be-all, and you don't have to wait until you hit that goal to be happy and proud of yourself, right? If you're waking up and doing these small details every single day, like you should already feel like you're winning and achieving something, because that's the only way to get to that goal.
Definitely, man. Hitting right on the, one of the things I wanted to talk about was, I felt like you were very good at describing, going into detail about like putting in the work and the mindset around putting in the work. And it's, like we all try to say, I think it's becoming a bigger thing, which is falling in love with the process instead of the goal, which is why you can't walk into the gym and get a coach and walk up to your coach and say, hey, coach, I want to have 7% body fat and I want to blah, blah, blah. I want my shoulders to be 36 inches in circumference. If you're starting with fitness and you're setting a specific body image goal, like with a specific number of weight, or you want to bench a certain number of pounds, you start to get more neurotic because it's very specific, rather than I just want to improve my body composition and I just want to enjoy fitness and making my lifestyle more livable and enjoyable.
Absolutely. Go ahead.
No, you're fine.
Okay, I was just going to say that there's this kind of this mental or written picture I like to give to my clients often about many different topics, and I'll see if I can explain it verbally. It's easier with the picture, of course, but it's the simple idea of a pyramid, right? So like with any pyramid, a pyramid shape, the longer and wider the base of it, the foundation, the higher the pyramid can get. And that's something that I explain to people when you're talking about habit or mindset or any fitness goal is, again, as a coach, I see things a lot from my own mistakes in the past. So when people come into me or come in to work with me and they say, I want to hit this goal in 3 months or else I won't be happy, right? If I don't lose these 20 pounds of fat by my vacation, I'm going to be miserable and feel like a failure. But the way that I look at it is if you just think of a big pyramid as, let's say, your whole fitness journey in life, right? The wider you make that base, AKA the stronger your habits are, the stronger your mindset is, being patient, realizing the better you implement these habits now slowly, the higher it'll be able to get in the future, the better your overall success will be. So I try and encourage people, yes, we're going to work towards that goal. It can definitely be possible. But even if you don't lose that 20 pounds by your vacation, if you've worked on the specific habits and mindsets that get people to sustainable fat loss or whatever goal it is, they're going to have a much greater chance at reaching that and better goals in the future and sustaining it, right? Because they're not on a rocky foundation. So I always draw that pyramid for people and say, we could try and rush the process and get there in 2 months or 2 weeks, whatever the goal is. But if that base of pyramid is very small, you're not going to have much room to go up from there, because you might binge eat afterward. You might recycle if you're overstressed or neurotic about the process. So again, I think falling in love with the process, enjoying and appreciating those small wins will give you a very, very wide foundation to grow from.
Yeah, and just not expecting to win right away or win perfectly or even
Absolutely.
Do everything exactly, because it's definitely, it's not, it's very abstract and it's very personal.
Absolutely.
There's no one specific way.
Of course.
I can hear the people surfing in the background there.
Oh, it's a nice helicopter over my head. Sorry about that.
I love it. I love it.
Not that I can control it, but.
starting with something small, starting with the foundational habits and like realizing that boring things work and that you're actually probably going to like the boring things down the road.
Mm-hmm.
When you stop, you know, it gets stressful and it's sort of mentally taxing to have a new workout every 6 weeks for 3 years.
100%.
And if you actually want to grow, you're going to have to repeat the same things over and over. Like, for some reason, when you were explaining that pyramid, I thought of another image, which was, it's like a book or chapter from the Bible about growing, like growing your seeds. And you talk about growing on a rocky foundation, and you definitely don't want to start on like a rocky foundation when you don't have you're not going to start with a full understanding of fitness. And if you start with misinformation and you practice bad information, you're just not going to go correctly.
Absolutely.
If you learn, you know, physics wrong the first way through and you do that for 3 years, well, then you've got a bad foundation. You're probably going to have to go and start all over again. It's going to be even harder. So starting with something easy, understanding that it's a personal process, and getting your basics down, like calories, basic weight lifting, squats, deadlift, getting form correct, and then getting in the habit and practicing
Absolutely.
That for a long time.
Yeah.
Which it's hard to sell that to people, obviously.
It is. And I mean, that's one of my, I'm not going to say frustration because I expect that it was going to be an easy response, you know. But I think that's one of the kind of the greatest pleasures I get out of coaching is maybe having a more difficult situation with somebody where they just want to hear the quick answer, but being patient with myself not to just give that to them and give in, being like, all right, you know, fine, let's just do it this way because I want you to be happy. Like, yes, my number one goal as a coach is to make people happy and achieve the goals they want. But if I can make an even more number one goal, it's to have people understand the true science and work that it takes and understand the actual process, you know, so one day they don't need a coach, right? They feel like they can really own it and do the things the right way. So I'm sure you've seen this at some point, but there is a really great graphic out there. If you know the Instagram channel, Sohee Lee, she's a great coach.
Yes. Yeah.
She has this really good same idea that I mentioned, this pyramid, and it's the pyramid of fat loss. The foundation is the most important. As you ascend up the pyramid, it gets less and less important. And what's interesting is you would think, based on science, the biggest, most important thing for fat loss is the calorie deficit, right? And to an extent, it is. But the thing that's under that, which is even more important, is adherence and sustainability. Because yes, based on the actual what happens with your body, the calorie deficit is going to be the paramount thing. But if you don't have a sustainable calorie deficit or you're not putting the rest of the things in place to do it for a long time, you're still not going to lose fat or sustain that fat loss. So as with any goal, the science, the numbers are extremely important. But before that, you still have to understand the psychology and make sure what you're doing and the way you're doing it is going to last.
That's awesome, man. It's a great way to explain it. I think Sohee may have worked with Eric Helms. Or if you're familiar with him.
I believe you're right.
I think that pyramid might, I don't want to criticize, and, but I'm not trying to like sound bad. I think that may have come from the 3D MJ is what he does.
Yeah, I think it might have been from somebody else. You know, it's definitely been around there.
Yeah, that goes around a lot, and I like it. It's being distilled into different explanations. But that pyramid that about the hierarchy of fat loss is making its rounds, and people are sharing it more often. And it's just, it's been a wonderful thing. I love hearing people reference that.
Absolutely. Like I said, it's just back to the conversation we had about those harder conversations with clients or people that want to achieve a goal, and trying to teach them about the real patience and time it may take, is that, like, in the moment, you know, they really might have a difficult time hearing that. They're like, what do you mean a year from now? I'm not thinking about that. I'll get there when I get there. I want this goal in 2 months. And my response generally is, like, I understand where you're coming from. I hear you. Like, I want you to get that goal in 2 months as well. But if we don't treat it like we're trying to get there in a year, meaning we don't build very sound foundations of principles and habits, it's not going to happen, or it's not going to maintain itself.
Yep. Right. For example, it kind of sounds like they're giving up right away.
Exactly. And I'll have somebody who, and this, I mean, this is, I'm sure as I improve as a coach, as will you, we'll both find better ways to explain things so we can get to people a little bit faster, because it is also on our end, something we can work on always. But if I have somebody whose main goal is to lose 20 pounds in a couple months, right, and let's say a month goes by, they don't lose a pound, it is because I should be giving them all the information and guiding them to get there properly. But if they kind of disobey that and want to really still rush the process, then it has to work on both ends. And I think when a person can look at a month without fat loss, but let's say they've gotten better deadlift form, or they've gotten stronger, or they've simply just had a better mindset about their own body, that's huge progress. Like,
yeah,
progress, it's, again, it might sound cliche and people are like, yeah, yeah, but what does my body look like? What do I do? But the truth is, like, if you want to be very logical and realistic about what this means, is if you have a better mindset about all of this and you think better about your own body and mind, you will make the better physical progress down the road. You know, it's not just like feel good stuff. It really makes a difference, because every person I've ever talked to or learned from that has achieved years and decades of physical and performance results and sustained them and been happy about it has had a very, like, realistic, open-minded, and confident mindset, or at least has gotten to that point. So that's why I think that's the number one step. And again, that's something that I also want to speak from experience, because when I started, like I said, I didn't have a coach or anybody for years. I just learned from people out there and different resources. And although my mindset was, I think it was decent, you know, I mean, I wasn't like beating myself up too much, but I definitely did get to that point where if I didn't see any muscle gain in a month, I would just start like binge eating food. I would start lifting like crazy. I would start saying no to family events just so I could get to the gym. It was not healthy, you know.
Dude,
and
yes.
My family would back that up, because I'm very different now. But when I was 16, I mean, given I was a teenager and I was young and dumb, but I would constantly be trying to track my numbers while I was at a dinner with family, and my sisters would be like, put your phone away, just relax. And I have these goals. I have to be obsessed. And the thing is, now I'm making much better progress than I ever did, and I'm not doing any of that shit, you know. And it's not that that stuff is a problem. Like, you can find a way to do it and have both ways, but there's a way to go about it and a wrong way to go about it, you know. So I think if you can objectively look at, like, what you've been acting like, and if you think that you've been very obsessive and sacrificing things that don't need to be sacrificed, there's a way to simplify it.
Exactly. And it's our job as coaches to take responsibility for even the losses that, you know,
100%
are taking. If, you know, if they're not seeing the progress they want, explaining things fully, even when you think you explain something fully and give all the details necessary, there's sometimes just miscommunications.
Of course.
But owning the process is a humbling thing. You have to be very humble to be a good coach and actually listen to people and actively understand what their situation is and adapt your coaching style to that. And
of course,
slowly working down. I think there's also somewhat of a pyramid to goals as it relates to fitness, and I think that it may work top down. With fitness goals, like, the top of the pyramid may be like a aesthetic goal or something vain.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, maybe they want to strict curl 200 pounds or something crazy like that. I don't know.
No goal. Would
do. Interesting goal, but I've seen it happen. And they, you know, you start going to the gym and it's new and exciting, and they explain to you, the coach, you know, hey, I want to bench press 300 pounds, or I want to deadlift 400 pounds, or I want to you know, look good for my performance. And they expect it in a short period of time. You kind of start as a coach with giving people the things they want and then sprinkling in the things they need. And Jordan Syatt talks about this a lot.
Love him. Absolutely.
Like, being a good coach is learning how to not tease people, but give the person what they want. They want to get better at a deadlift. You do a deadlift variation as their main movement or something
100%.
That's helping them getting better at a deadlift. But then you work in after that. When you get that buy-in, like, yeah, I'm getting better at my deadlift, then you start to structure the program around things that might not be as easy. So work in a superset with another movement with a deadlift that they might not like, but it's still good for, like, their posture, for example.
Exactly. And I'm actually, yeah, go ahead.
As they're going down the road with that, if they're getting better at their deadlift, it gets a little bit easier to have enjoyment with the process. And the deeper you get into fitness, some people, it just happens right away. But for some people, they start with an aesthetic goal or a lifting number goal, and then they realize, like, the deeper goals, the deeper needs. Like, I want to be strong so I can, you know, be healthy for my family when I'm 60.
Of course.
Or I just don't want to have health problems. And that kind of develops over time for people.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I'm actually really happy you brought that up, because I, while hearing you say all that, realized something that I didn't communicate fully. Earlier, when I was explaining the idea of if somebody wanted to come in with a very specific fat loss goal, stressing the importance of patience and et cetera, it is kind of a balance, and that's something I didn't fully clarify on. Like, as a coach, like you said, you definitely want to focus on those foundations with them, but there is nothing wrong, and it's actually a great thing to still help them get there as fast as possible with a lot of patience and understanding that to give them the proper education as well, you know? Meaning, like, if someone comes in with this body fat goal, I'm not going to deprive them of that and say, we have to take a year because I want you to learn patience. You know, that's crazy. Like, I'm still going to give them all the information I can to get there fast. It's just, there's a difference between getting there as efficiently and quickly as you can, like, sustainably, versus getting there even faster than that at the sacrifice of all of these other habits, you know? So it's finding that balance, like you said, of giving them a little more of what they want in the beginning and just making them feel like they're really owning the process and getting to where they actually want to be, even if it's a vanity reason, but still kind of throwing in those little bits of patience and sustainability. And like, if you lose one day, so to speak, like, you're not losing the process. All of those things will be thrown in. And as you build a better relationship and they trust you more, you know, you can start to give a little more of what they really need. But it definitely is a balance of both. So thank you.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's the way it's explained. I mean, when you're going after anything in life, you want something sooner because it's a gold. It's like the golden ball for you. It's the next platform. It's the feel good place. But approaching it with that patience mindset,
or
understanding there's more things than just getting the thing.
Yeah, totally.
The difference between having and being and doing, as well.
Yeah. Absolutely. And on that note, that's one other quick thing before you get to your next questions. I don't want to hold you from that. But something that this is one thing that I really love to talk to people about, because it's often overlooked, is the idea of, or the ability to make the small wins exciting. Because as we were talking about, if, let's say, another example, someone wants to maybe get 20 pounds more on their deadlift while losing fat in 2 months. If in their mind they come in and they're not, because I definitely work with some very stubborn people. They're great people, but very stubborn. I know you probably do as well, meaning they come in and unless they are hitting that goal or seeing huge progress right away, they feel defeated. But like you said, it's hard sometimes to get them to think, okay, I'll only be happy when I get that goal in 2 months, and you have to be patient and just keep doing the boring work. Because if you teach them that there's a way to make that boring work not so boring, you know, and find those small victories, then it's so much easier to enjoy the process, right? Like, just saying, enjoy the process, love every day, love waking up and going to work out isn't realistic, you know, because it's like, I don't love that all the time. I mean, I sure as hell, like, when I was younger and stuff, if I knew I had to get up for a 5 a.m. workout because I had something to do after, and that was my only time, I'm not always going to be happy about it in the moment. But if I can sit there for a second, take a deep breath, and realize by doing this thing that I don't want to do, but I know it's going to be good for me, I'm winning. It makes me a lot more happy in that moment and enjoy it a lot better. I have a client, right, who wants to lose fat, wants to get stronger, but he needs much more than that, right? He needs to simply drink water. He needs to eat protein. He has no water throughout the day, like very, very basic nutritionally. And the water thing seems like something that's kind of a burden. But when I explain to him that, like, you can get pumped up when you have a liter of water, you know, like, I'll send you a text, remind you, be super excited for you, make sure you get your water in every day, because that is going to be owning the process and getting to where you want. He definitely gets a little bit more excited. And when he gets a water, he doesn't just simply say, fuck, I'm drinking water right now. You know, it's the most boring training ever. But he sends me a text like, dude, Harris, I drink water today. Aren't you proud? Like, let's go. We're going to get these goals. You know, he gets really, really happy. Like, it's hilarious. So, like, finding a way as a coach to match your guidance with their personality and find a way to get them excited about the small things is crucial. And it's going to make every day a lot more enjoyable for them.
Exactly. That's perfect, man. I am on the same page with you. I as a coach try my best to. I'm very stubborn as a person, like very stubborn. When I want something, I'm like, okay, no, time to go.
Yep.
When I speak with some of my clients, you learn to hear what they're really saying through how they're explaining things to you. And somebody will say, well, I tried ABC diet and it worked for me. And I said, then I tried tracking calories, but it didn't work. And mm-hmm. You ask them, then the deeper question is like, okay, well, what were you doing when you were on blah, blah, blah diet, whatever they were doing? And the explanation, I think a fair amount of the time, is my habits were healthier. I wasn't eating processed food and I was paying attention to my hunger cues. And that's kind of reading between the lines is what I hear a lot.
Yeah.
And then they try tracking calories and they get too obsessed with the number and they think, oh, well, I have to hit the certain number, but it's impossible. But I love pasta so much and I'm just going to gorge myself on all of my food. And
yep.
You catch it right there. Like, your focus is on the number, not on just counting what you're already eating.
Absolutely.
A common mindset shift is that when you're counting something, you only have a finite amount of that resource. And once you're out, like, game over, like, life is over.
Yeah.
When it's like, it's okay to go over a couple of days a week. It's okay to be that way. And you don't have to approach it with, you have to be at a net deficit every single day. You can be at a net deficit for the week. And before I lose my train of thought,
I'm with you.
Getting your mindset away from tracking numbers instead of your healthy habits. It's gone. I had a good point.
No, there. I hear you. I think, correct me if I'm wrong, you're saying basically, like, the reason behind maybe a particular diet working isn't that specific diet is magic, but it's a more sustainable way for them to get to that calorie deficit, right? It's just there's different ways about it.
Right. And Ariel, you've got it now. I tweeted out the other day, like, the goal of fat loss is not to starve yourself as long as humanly possible, which that's what the mindset is when you start tracking a number of calories. And it doesn't always work for everybody. But for a lot of people, getting into that can get them in the mindset that they are losing something or they have to starve themselves or this number is, like, too low for them. But the goal is to find out if that's working and make adjustments. And then you've got to eat as much as possible anyway. So the goal is to eat as much as possible, enjoy your diet, and still lose weight and still hit your goal.
I saw you posted that. Yep.
And it's just a numerical tool. And it's a tough mindset shift, but mm-hmm. once you learn that the goal, if you change your mindset from I'm going to be hungry every day to, oh, I get to eat as much as possible and lose fat. That's awesome.
Sounds crazy, but it's so true.
Right. It's funny what happens when you just, like, change your lenses a little bit.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, on that note you were making about for example, XYZ diet and calorie counting. I saw another post about this recently. I forget who shared it, but they said, in a way that sounds much better than I'm going to say it, they said that all diets out there, keto, paleo, intermittent fasting, being a vegan, vegetarian, whatever it is, as far as physique goals go and health-related goals, it's a different way to – it's like wrapping calorie deficit in different boxes, right? Like you have – all of those are simply going to be a calorie deficit and the science-based principles to get that goal. They're just going to be wrapped up differently. And they might – and some people might like the wrapping of one better than the other, right? Like intermittent fasting is by no means magic for fat loss, but if it allows you to get in that calorie deficit more consistently and sustainably because you just don't want to eat for a big portion of the day, that's great for you, right? I personally can realize that that's not going to be a good approach for me because I wake up in the morning and I want food. I feel way better after I have some food in me in the morning, but I feel more comfortable spreading that out throughout the day so I don't go overboard. You know, where some people, let's take my dad, for example, he, and this is actually one kind of sidetrack from this, just by being in fitness and coaching, I've definitely learned some things that I used to say, which I disagree with now, actually. I can 100% admit I was wrong on them. And one example is I used to talk to my dad all the time about how you have to eat breakfast. It's crazy that you're only having coffee in the morning, you know, like you're going 8 hours without eating after you wake up. And that's no good if you want to feel better. But now I'm realizing that he simply feels his best when he doesn't eat until 1 or 2 p.m. and has a cup of coffee. And if that works for him and he can still find ways to get his nutrition in and get his goals, then so be it. You know, so that's, I think, a really important thing for everyone listening to understand is that you're 100% going to hear a lot of people try and push things on you, like you have to do keto because it's the quickest way to lose fat, right? Nothing against keto, but true that it is the best for everybody. It might be the best for one person or two people, but again, I bet you or I won't do the best on that just because of the sheer restriction involved. So the message is, you have to be patient and try different things out. And if something doesn't work for you, don't blame it on the diet or the person who told it to you. Just realize that either you weren't executing it properly or it might just not be best for you, you know, and that's okay.
Exactly, man. Perfect. I read something from Paul Check. I remember that just reminded me of like why I liked Paul Check to begin with is because he spoke about like the breakfast conundrum. And there's a, I don't know if it's true or not, but there's a conspiracy that like General Mills, like they started the first nutrition degree and they're a cereal company and wanted people to eat more grains. So they made up that breakfast was the most important meal of the day. And
oh,
it's just something that kind of stuck around. Kind
oh,
of
shit.
Like,
that's
just,
so,
it's wild. Yeah.
That's interesting.
There's a whole lot of conspiracies out there though. And
I bet
like something else that kind of carried over was the knee over toe.
Like yeah, with squatting.
When people squat, they like still to this day, people think your knees aren't supposed to go over your toes.
Yeah. Oh, I have a really quick story about that, which is funny and I think important to hear. One of my first ever clients at my old gym back in Indiana, I remember seeing her every day. This woman, badass woman. I mean, all she came in to do was to lift heavy weight, get after it. She was like cursing. She was super nice to everyone. She's like, I want to go. Let's go. And I saw her squatting and I could tell she was strong, but she was only squatting like the bar and very uncomfortably. And she was asking me, she's like, why does this feel so weak? I deadlift all this weight. I just can't move the squat bar. I looked at her from the profile view and I noticed that every squat, her knees were staying right over her foot. They were not going anywhere past her toes. And it was, imagine like a person was trying to do that, right? It was very obvious that she was pushing everything back so her knees didn't fall forward. And I explained to her that it's actually okay to allow the knees to go forward as long as the tripod on the foot is stable and everything is planted. She gave it a try, kind of got used to it. And I mean, she, I think, doubled the weight on the bar in like 5 minutes. And she was like, holy shit, I have all this stability and strength. And I was explaining like, yes, you have the strength and power and mechanics to do this. You're just limiting yourself because you're ruining your foundation. You know, you're going by this arbitrary rule of sitting way into your heels and losing all stability. So it's something like that where simply knowing the science allows you to kind of free yourself up of those rules and then get where you want to be.
Right. I explain it to people a little bit differently. I was a heavy video gamer.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll ask people, like, I'm like, did you play Mario as a kid? And I'm like, your body is a spring. It's just like when you jump onto the like the bouncy platforms on Mario. Your body is supposed to be in a Z shape, and you get a lot more. It is physics too. Like when you load incorrectly at that angle with the knees, you're not giving yourself enough kinetic or potential energy to get back up.
Definitely.
It's like you're diffusing half of the energy you need to do the squat.
Oh, for sure.
I think that was like, I think the reason I said that was like, it was a cue in back in the 80s or 90s, like back when Richard Simmons was big, and they were trying to cue people to not ruin their knees when they were squatting, and they said something about like, don't let it go too far over your toe, and then people started saying, oh, you can't let your knee go over your toe, and that just has stuck around forever.
It's like any trend or rumor just kind of builds and builds, and different variations of it come out, and then it sticks. So I'm with you.
Telephone. Yeah, I mean, if you in kindergarten.
Yeah, like absolutely. Big game of squatting telephone. But if you, I mean, if you're listening, you have a baby, or you see a baby anywhere, like those are the human beings to watch for proper movement. You know, like you see a baby squatting, and they are ass to grass. Their knees are over their toes. They look comfortable. They have the mobility, you know, like we're meant to sit in that deep squat with the proper mechanics, and that is absolutely allowing the knees to go past. And I don't want to stick on this point too much, because I know you're probably trying to go somewhere with it, but just again, like we're meant to move in different ways than very, very locked in.
Yeah, I think it's all under the lens of like changing your perspective and
not
believing the way that you used to perceive things, and realizing that there's other potentials and, you know, different ways to be in a calorie deficit, and different ways to exercise, and different ways to go after your goals.
Yes, absolutely.
Just like there's different ways to get a career.
Of course.
And it just takes an open mind to do that. And that's the part that I enjoy most about coaching, is like seeing people like open their eyes, like when they really open their eyes and see that life isn't what they thought it was. And mm-hmm. like, oh, I can do this if I want to. I'm in control, and I don't have to do it the way that my daddy told me to.
Oh, yeah. And that's 100%.
You got it, man. You won. Just like,
it's like my dad told me to squat this way. I have to do it, you know. No, I'm with you. And that's, again, a big thing that I'm kind of learning and realizing as of right now is that you can, as a coach, you can explain things and say things the best way possible and give them all this overview of what's possible out there. But until this person or whoever's listening is ready to be open-minded and see those possibilities, it's not going to really go through. And that by no means means just give up on them and wait till they get there, right? Like there's ways to help them accelerate that process. But again, it is, I mean, you have to kind of have empathy for where people come from and realize that their environment or how they were taught things, they might see things in this lens, and it's going to be a hell of a lot harder than just saying it and to get them to switch, you know, or not that you're trying to change somebody, but to get them to at least be open-minded and own the process for themselves.
Right. And yeah, you're hearing, if you're saying things, you're saying through the filter that you're saying it through and the way you understand things, but you're given the way that they're hearing is through their filter and their perceived necessities. Like they're going to filter it through that hierarchy of what should I do first? How is this going to process in my brain?
Definitely.
That's awesome, man. You are super good at explaining things. I like the way that you go into depth.
I appreciate
good.
That.
I need to work on it. I'm very abstract with the way I explain things. So I'm going to take some notes from you. I'm going to re-listen to this episode.
You know, out there, I think I learned from too many conversations of explaining things where people were like, what the fuck are you talking about? Because I used to just ramble and ramble and make no sense. And eventually I was like, I should probably try and tighten this up. So still a work in progress, and we're both working on it. Absolutely.
Definitely, man. You're getting a little bit choppy, but thank you for coming on, man. You want to let everybody know like what's next down the line for you? You got any plans in place, and then how to get in touch with you?
Sure, absolutely. So for the time being, I am a trainer at Equinox over in New York City. Amazing company. I'm super grateful for the opportunities from them, because at least as far as I know now, without this company and the people that I work with, I wouldn't be in New York. I wouldn't be at the place I am now, which isn't too far along. I still want to work, but I'm very grateful for that. down the road. I'm definitely not too sure. I'm not someone who likes to like plan years in advance and know exactly where I'm going to be, but I do have an idea. And as far as I know, I want to keep coaching, and I want to really start to inspire as many people as I can to get that open mindset and think for themselves. You know, I'm not trying to push my own like dogmatic views on anybody. I don't have those, I think, but I want it's possible to kind of learn the way I did at least and see that there's a lot out there, you know. As far as training, I don't know where I'll end up, but like I said, I just want to keep that mission alive. As far as finding me, reaching out to me on Instagram, my name is Coach Harris Benjamin. Hopefully it'll be in the podcast link, so feel free to check it out there. I have a few other social medias, but nothing that I'm too heavy on at the moment. I definitely need to get a podcast going like you. Please feel free to DM me, message me any questions or conversations. Actually, Steve, if you don't know how Steve and I met, it was very very recently, and it was kind of an interesting story, and we just a few messages through a mutual friend, and here we are talking. So I love social media for that reason. So I'd love to connect with all of you and hope to hear from you.
Yeah, dude. Thanks for being on, man. And if I could give you one idea for social media,
please.
I'm on the TikTok bandwagon now.
Oh, I know. I've heard Gary Vee just go on about that. He's
been rambling, but it's Vine circa 2007.
I love Vine.
It's there. Jordan
Size.
Just released
Jordan
Size,
got it. Yep.
Yeah. You've got to go watch his TikTok thing. It's on his Instagram, and it's absolutely hilarious. I've watched it 50 times already.
The belly flop.
Yeah. Yep. That one.
I'm with you. I might have to get there.
All right, my man. You enjoy
cool,
the
man.
Rest of your trip, and I will talk to you soon.
Yes. Thank you for having me on. Much appreciated. Everybody listening, thank you for listening. Talk soon.
Later, man.
Later.